You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 70. So, got a pretty straightforward episode for you guys this week. A lot of news and then a game review, film review, and the usual other stuff for this episode. So I'll jump right into it. So that's really about it for the preface of the episode. So the theme for this week's episode is extraordinary items. These are gains or losses that are recorded on a company's income statement that do not relate to ordinary business activities. These are basically things that are not expected to happen again in the future, but came up and are considered material amounts. So for example, if you had to go out and buy a 50 cent or 99 cent pencil, that's not necessarily an extraordinary item. But let's say you had to make a special purchase for product or parts, or you were out of stock or someone, or had to make a quick hire for temporary employees, then that would be considered an extraordinary item, and you would have to make a classification on that and make a special note making note of that. So it all depends on the relative materiality of whatever that extraordinary item is. But essentially, it is a classification to make note that you had to spend an extra amount of money for something, and that will affect the performance for a related period. And you're providing the backup and explanation for what that purchase was for. And then same thing on the flip side. So if you received funds that were maybe on hold, or you see a considerable amount of money outside a period, and you're making note that it relates to a particular period's purchase, and that may be considered an extraordinary item as well. But it all depends if why you're receiving those extra funds, or those funds may be related to a special one-time sale, and that is why that you're seeing that special or that jump in payments received. But with that being said, I'll jump right into this week's news. So to start it off, Google Play Music got updated with Google's machine learning to figure out what music you like based on your location, activities, weather, what you're doing, and all of those different factors, so you get more tailored music for what you like. And from what I understand, it also takes into consideration music that you've liked previously on Google Play Music and on YouTube, so it factors in all those different things and gives you more tailored content. In device news, the OnePlus 3T was announced this week. It's a new phone that's going to release on November 22nd. It runs Android 6.0.1, but if you're in the community builds, from what I understand, the Nougat rollout will be rolling out soon, and probably by the end of the year as well. CyanogenMod 14 for the OnePlus 3s rolling, or nightly builds have started rolling out, so you should see CyanogenMod builds there as well. As far as the hardware, it's mostly the same except for a few notable differences, but overall the device has a 5.5 inch screen, runs a Snapdragon 820 or has a Snapdragon 821 processor at 2.35 gigahertz, has 6 gigs of RAM, will come in two models, 64 and 128, or with 64 or 128 gigabytes of RAM, has a 3400 milliamp hour battery, 16 megapixel rear and front cameras. A rear camera will support recording videos in 4K at 30 frames per second. And also has Bluetooth 4.2, so for the most part the same as a OnePlus 3, but with an improved processor and two models. It's going to come in the moment in black and gold. They have more special names like Black Sapphire and rose gold, but whatever the gold version is. So two models and two colors, so look out for that coming in on November 22nd. TouchWiz recovery port for Alpha 1 is now available for the Pixel and Pixel XL, so this will make it easier for ROM developers to make custom builds or ROMs for the Pixel and Pixel XL phones. In related news, the Super User SU app has been updated as well to work with Twerp on the Pixel and Pixel XL, so you will be able to keep your root on these two devices. Super Mario Run now has a release date for the iPhone and iPad, and that's December 15th, so look out for that. It's going to come in a free version, which gives you access to a couple of different playability options, so you can see how it is. And then in order to play the full game, it'll be $9.99 to unlock the entire game and play it as much as you want. WhatsApp has started rolling out video calling for its app on Android and iOS, so look out for that. Google has released an app called PhotoScan this week. It allows you to touch up and restore old pictures just by taking a picture of them, so you'll be able to figure out how to avoid glare, touch up. Basically, if a picture is old and you want to clean it up and make it look like a new picture, you'll be able to easily do that with PhotoScan. Google Translate got updated with more natural sentence support using the neural machine translation feature. So basically what that is that when you type a sentence, it'll better translate it into other languages and into sentence structures for those languages as well. Google Allo got updated with easier searching for emojis. So if you want to easily find that right emotion, you can now easily do that. And finally, Google Play Newsstand got updated with personalized headlines based on interests, richer images and videos, and now syncs across Android and iOS apps, and also has a new website, so if you want to view articles on the web, you can now do that as well. But that is all for that, so with that, I'll jump into this week's game review. So I was just looking around for games to play, and in Google Play, I noticed a game it was recommending to me called Galaxy of Heroes. So what this is it's a game based in the Star Wars universe that allows you to collect characters in the Star Wars universe and train them to upgrade their abilities and fight them against other various characters using a game mode, as well as other players who have built up their own teams as well. So you start off training heroes in the Star Wars universe. So you start with a general Jedi counselor. You can earn characters like Chewbacca, Luke Skywalker, an Ewok, a Republic era stormtrooper, and characters like that. And then as you gain various, basically I'll call them shards, but various things in the game, you can upgrade those characters as well as earn gems to buy cards to earn new characters as well. And then once you get to, I think it was level 12 or 20, you're able to unlock the dark side, so you can play on the dark side as well and build up your dark side and light side teams at the same time and have them unlock those abilities. And then much like MMOs, you can also enhance your characters with various add-ons. So you can give them, for example, enhanced strength, intelligence, dexterity, awareness, and things like that to have them get additional stats to make them more, basically just upgrade those characters. And then once you've provided certain additional add-ons to each of those characters, and they vary by character, you're able to upgrade them as well. So I would imagine you can upgrade Luke Skywalker from A New Hope Luke Skywalker to Return of the Jedi Luke Skywalker. I haven't gotten there yet, so that's still speculation. But basically, as you play the game, you get various add-ons, and so you can upgrade your characters and play various battles. So as a point of reference, it's kind of like Star Wars Commander, but rather than building up your own base and upgrading your base to go along the storyline and battle against other players there, in this case, you're building up your team of heroes and villains and upgrading them and fighting them against other characters in the game as well. So overall, it's a very nifty, or it's a pretty fun game. It's pretty engrossing. I don't know if you're able to mix and match your team. So if you want, for example, if you have a team of five and you want to have three villains and two heroes, or four heroes and one villain, I don't know if you can do that kind of matchup just yet, but at the moment you can build up your individual hero or villain team and play in that mode. And then each character also has a regular attack and then a powered attack. So, and it's tailored to that character. So, for example, A New Hope Luke Skywalker has his rifle. So you have a regular regular shot with the rifle. And then you have the sniper shot with that rifle. So he basically kneels down and takes that sniper shot. With the Jedi Consular, you have his a regular lightsaber attack, and then his enhanced power is the healing factor. So if you're doing your battles and your team is getting low on health, then you can do a power up with Chewbacca. You have his bowcaster attack, and then his special power is Wookiee Rage. So it all depends on the character, and it's generally based on what you know about that character. And then, for example, with the Republic Commando, his regular shot is just a blaster shot with one character against one of the enemy, but then with his special power, it is a spread shot of his blaster against all of your enemies. And then in the story mode, you do play, it's basically a set of three rounds. So you play two rounds against regular enemies, and then you have a final battle it's basically like your boss fight. So you have a boss and his backup, and you're fighting against them, and that boss has his own special abilities and power to play against. So it all depends on each round. And you play on different planets. So you have Hoth, Endor, the Death Star, in various places and locations throughout the Star Wars universe. So overall, the game is pretty fun to play. It's available for Android and iOS, so pretty platform agnostic. It doesn't matter what device your friends are using, as long as it's Android or iOS, and they can get in on the fun. And it is available for free to play on both platforms, so it's definitely worth checking out. And then at least on the Android side, it ties in with Google Play Games, so you can keep track of your achievements and get leaderboards and see how you do against your friends and all of that stuff. So I'm sure it does the same thing on the Apple side with whatever Apple games tie-in is there. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into the entertainment segment. So to start it off with some news, Westworld has been renewed for a second season. So that'll be coming out soon. I think there's also only a couple more episodes left in the current season. So we'll see how they leave us at the end of the first season. For those of you who've been watching Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., that in the past couple of seasons, they focus a lot on the Inhumans. So on that note, the Inhumans TV series is set to premiere September of 2017 exclusively in IMAX and come to ABC as a TV show. It is still early on, so we'll see how things change, but that is the current time frame. The Star Wars Rogue One got a Dolby poster, so it's a brand, or it's a little bit more of a, or just another wallpaper with a helmet in the water on the beach that we've seen in the trailer with the AT-ATs and stormtroopers in the background. As far as what I watched, not too much. I had a chance to watch the original and new MacGyver Season 1, Episode 8. I had a chance to watch Westworld Season 1, Episode 7, Trump Lol, I guess, I'm not sure how to say that, but TROMPEL'OEIL. I also watched The Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 4, Service, and Gotham Season 3, Episode 9, The Executioner. Otherwise, I watched two James Bond movies, The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day. They both showed up on Amazon Prime, so I decided to give those a watch. And then I actually got a 20% off coupon in Google Play, so I used that for 20% off a movie. So I actually ended up buying the Watchmen Director's Cut, so I'm going to probably watch that this weekend if I get the time. But I actually did enjoy that movie and figured it's worth the purchase. So speaking of movies, on that note, I will jump right into this week's movie review, and in this case, it is Doctor Strange. So I did have a chance to finally watch it. I didn't watch it opening weekend, so a little late, but overall it was a really, really good movie. There will be spoilers, but I figure at this point as well, since it's been a couple of weeks, most people who have wanted to see the movie will have already seen it, but I will still give that spoiler warning, so jump ahead to the Star Wars profile if you guys don't want to be spoiled on that. But the movie itself released in the United States on November 4th, 2016, has a runtime of 115 minutes. A summary of the movie is that a former neurosurgeon embarks on a journey of healing, only to be drawn into the world of the mystic arts. On IMDb, it's getting a rating of 80%, with 90% critics and 91% audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes, so very well regarded movie, and I can see why. it was very fun. It was very entertaining. We see that transition of Doctor Strange just being a neurosurgeon to becoming the Sorcerer Supreme. So with that, I will jump into the review itself. So to start it off, I thought, cool, the Johnny Mnemonic laser whip still works. So we have the opening sequence of what I'll call the Scorpion versus Scorpion fight, which I'll get to in a second. But they had they created these laser whips. I didn't really look into the backstory of what they were for, but they reminded me of the laser whip from Johnny Mnemonic, and it was a pretty cool new version of that. So I enjoyed that very much. And then when we have that opening fight as well, when we have that Inception looking sequence, I thought it was kind of funny because we have all those characters in orange/yellow, and I expected one of them, or even what the character that Mads Mikkelsen was playing, to at some point yell out "Get over here" or "Come here" or something along those lines of the weird pseudo nod to Mortal Kombat. But that whole Inception look and feel to that fight was very well done, and even later in the movie when we have Doctor Strange going through his training, that was done very well as also. Next up though, Dormammu, where are you hiding the Dragon Balls? So we have the overview of the takeover of New York City and Dormammu coming through his realm into the Earth realm. And I got to thinking what it reminded me of, and it eventually hit me that the whole scene sequence reminded me of Dragon Ball Z. And finally, when we have, walking seems so pedestrian when one has portals and a floating cape. So when we have that battle when they're in I think it was one of the hubs that protects the planet. And we have Doctor Strange walking around, and it's after he's gotten the cape and he's learned about the portals. I got to thinking that it seemed like a weird way to move when, it's a weird form of personal transportation when he walks around. Why doesn't he just create portals to move around, or why doesn't he float? It seems easier to just float from one place to another. And finally, does reviving from death via time reversing only work on purely good sorcerers? So the thing that kind of bugged me at the end of the movie when Doctor Strange keeps going back to Dormammu to make the deal is that since he's able to turn back time and he has that time ability to turn back time to begin with, why wasn't he able to save the old Sorcerer Supreme from her death? Or is it something that's inevitable, or maybe he didn't have the power yet? But I got to thinking it's maybe like the Star Wars Force Ghost, where Dark Jedi or those who use the dark side are unable to become or dark side users are unable to become a Force Ghost. So maybe it was along those lines, but that was one of those things that kind of bugged me, and I didn't hear an explanation in the movie. And finally, there can be only one Sorcerer Supreme. So in the second credits sequence, we have the guy who's playing the original Sorcerer Supreme right-hand man killing off the sorcerer who was using magic to keep his nervous system intact, basically saying that there's too many sorcerers, so I just got that whole Highlander vibe that there can only be one sorcerer. But overall, I like the entire visual appeal of the movie. It was kind of like Inception meets The Matrix with the mythology of Mortal Kombat. So overall, it was very well done. It was very fun to watch. I liked Doctor Strange's wittiness and interactions. I kind of was going in expecting that he was going to be more stubborn, but he did pull off the whole stubbornness side of it, so I can't really fault that too much. But overall, it was worth watching. It was very enjoyable. I liked Wong's performance, and especially that he didn't laugh until the end. I forget what the joke was at the end that made him laugh, but I liked his whole character and how he operated. Tilda Swinton did well. Her right-hand man pulled off a very good performance. I liked his, not necessarily deadpan look, but just straight look, kind of like a different version of Wong, but overall very well portrayed. I liked that they did do the name drop with the Avengers protecting the physical realm and the sorcerers protecting the metaphysical realm. And then I liked that the mid-credit scene with Thor, as far as them going to find Loki and, or the reason for Loki being back on Earth and them going to find the, I think it's Allfather, whatever character Anthony Hopkins is playing. But overall, very well done. Not only was it well contained, but also tied in well to the rest of the Marvel Universe. So overall, worth seeing if you get a chance to see it in theaters. I did not watch it in 3D or IMAX, but I heard that was very well done there as well. So if you get a chance to watch an IMAX 3D, I hear it's recommended, but even in regular 2D, it was well done also. So with that, on that note, when I got to prepping for the Star Wars profile this week, I was wondering what I would do this week, and I got to thinking about Darth Vader's armor, and in doing the research, it worked well with the whole sorcerer's aspect of Doctor Strange, so I thought I'd review that. A fun fact that I actually didn't know about Darth Vader's armor is that it came with the serial number E-3778Q-1, which seemed kind of random, so I'm not sure how that came about, but Darth Vader did have a serial number. The armor itself, though, was designed in the Sith tradition that warriors of the dark side often wore suits of armor. So in recent memory, think of Darth Malgus from Star Wars The Old Republic, and then Darth Malak from Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic 1. And then if you go back into the expanded universe, or the legacy universe of Star Wars, we have Darth Bane as well. So dark side users generally wore armor. When creating the suit, Emperor Palpatine used Sith alchemy to augment Vader's strength and vitality. So not only was he a dark side user, but he also had Sith alchemy to make him stronger. It incorporated a life support system to avoid the necessity of using a hover chair, so that partially explains the breathing apparatus and the breathing noise of Darth Vader's armor. But since he did run on batteries, he did periodically need to recharge his suit to maintain his life support. A special seal was created to protect Vader's skin and lungs, because those were the most important parts and the organic parts that were needed in order to keep Vader functioning properly and to keep him alive. Vader, over the course of learning how to use a suit, ended up adding a layer of insulation to protect against electrical discharges. So nothing on the level of Emperor Palpatine's force lightning, but minor charges and static currents could be avoided by his suit, so it was a minimal layer of protection there. The suit also protected him, Vader, against biological weapons, so he had a filter so if anyone tried to poison him or hurt him using toxins or gases or anything like that, he would be protected. And his eye sensors were augmented for a further range of vision beyond his normal human abilities, so he was able to see in infrared and various other levels, so he could better see the environment around him. And his helmet provided him a heads-up display to give him that data in real time, so he could find out easily or do a threat assessment easily before going into any new situation. But that's really all there is for that. So the suit is very not only technologically is enhanced or advanced, but also sorcerily enhanced as well. So the Sith alchemy provided him with additional. Basically bridge that gap between with Vader's former pure human strength and his new technological mix to bridge that gap and make him that much stronger of an adversary. So that's all there is for that. So with that, I'll jump into this week's You Can Relax segment. So for this week's relax segment, I just wanted to talk about how I voted. So it's been a couple of weeks since the election in the United States happened. But politics and candidates aside, I more wanted to cover technology that we have this year compared to prior years, where you can now easily track by doing a simple Google search the election results in real time. So by doing a Google search for election results, we're easily able to see how many votes each candidate got in their respective states, how many they got, who's in the lead, what percentage. And this is not just Democrats and Republicans, but any Green Party candidates, independents, other, and all of that. And then you can also track propositions as they pass, so you can see what how many percentage was pro and how many, or how many percentage was for it and how many percent was against it. And then also local results, so how many, who got elected to various seats in the House and Senate, so you know who won and lost there. So all in all, it was a very good and easy way to keep track of the results and basically stay on top of the election results and see how they change in real time. And actually, I'll put an asterisk next to that. It wasn't really real time. It was more of a 30-second refresh. So every 30 seconds, you would get updates. But that's pretty good. So instead of having to refresh that page, you can just, as long as you wait at least 30 seconds, you can keep track of it and see how the results were pouring in. And then it's also very easy, Google makes it very easy to learn how to vote. So if you do a search for register to vote, you can easily see how to register to vote in your state where you live, or do a search for register to vote in and put in your state, and you can learn about that. You can find polling places, what hours they're open, see where other polling places are, and easily learn how to vote, register to vote, and get all the information that you need to vote to begin with. And if you want to do mail-in ballot, or vote early, things like that, you can learn all about that. So that when the next elections come around, those are the two things to remember, is basically election results and register to vote, and you're pretty much set up for the whole process. But that is all for this particular episode. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. Prior episodes, subscription links, and all of that good stuff can be found at PatelN01.com. Of course, you can find the show directly on Geek.io at geek-io.net. On iTunes, just look for Life of an Accounting Droid. Same thing for Google Play Music, and leave us a good rating on both if you like us there. We're also on Stitcher, or you can find us via RSS directly in Pocket Cast and all of those different places. You can also find video reviews for the reviews that I do on the shows at youtube.com/patelin01. And then as a quick note, since next week is actually Thanksgiving in the United States, at the moment I'm not planning to do an episode. But if enough comes up, I'll do a quick episode of updates, maybe around Tuesday or Wednesday, nothing special or fantastic. Or I might just do a quick review, screencast review, and put that as audio and video, and leave it at that. But we'll see. But at the moment, I'm not planning anything, so I'll be back in 2 weeks. But if I do come up with anything, I will release an episode around Tuesday or Wednesday. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for listening, and until next time.